Today,
I told you. I told you. Yeah. Today we're going to focus on Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the healer. And I'm not going to do so much of a teaching today, but what I'd like to do is just lead you through some scriptures that point to Jesus as the healer. And the reason being, I just want to encourage our faith this morning about what Jesus did and what Jesus can do. After we finish up with going over the scriptures, we're going to have a time of a prayer for healing, for anointing people for healing. So that's what's happening today. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It would be good if you have a pew Bible handy or a Bible. There's a lot of scriptures that are going to be going up, and they're of some length. So I hope they all get up there. But as I say, there's some lengthy passages, and you may want to have a pew Bible handy. So we're going to begin. This is right after Jesus was battling with Satan in the wilderness. And we know that story, how he defeated Satan with the word of God. And he's coming out of that now, and he's about to begin his public ministry. And verse 14, chapter 4 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And I want you to note that, in the power of the Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus did everything he did. He was a man in the flesh, and he needed the power of the Spirit working in him to work the miracles he worked and do the healings that he did. It was all by the Spirit. And it's the same Holy Spirit who lives in us that works through us to do the works of God. Amen. And news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All right? This is a benchmark, watermark time in the life of Jesus, in the life of the church, and in the life in the entire world. This is major, major stuff. Jesus is announcing why he came and what he came to do. And this is just very powerful, the fact that he would say this. This is why I'm here. This is what I've come to do. He's basically saying, I have come here to fix everything. I have come here to fix everything. All the wrongs that ever have been done, all the works of Satan, I am here to mend everything. Amen. Okay? Just a very powerful statement to undo all the damage that the enemy has caused in this world. Jesus is the great healer. Amen. He is the great physician. No one can heal like Jesus can. Okay? Doctors are great. Doctors are wonderful. Medicine's good. I believe all medicine has come to doctors, really, you know, through the mind of Christ. He just unravels those secrets. And we should use doctors, and we should use medicine and be thankful for it. But we should also always go to Jesus and use him for our healings. You know, he has the power and the authority over all forms of sickness, over all forms of disease. The root cause of sickness and disease is sin. You know, the doctors, they look at sickness, and it's physiological, psychological, but to the believer, we know what the word says, the root cause of all sin and sickness, sickness and illness is sin. It's sin. And that's what Christ came to set us free from. So we have a wonderful program in this church. I want to ask Fabian to come up because this fits in very well. We're running Celebrate Recovery here. And Fabian, come on up and just share a little bit with us about Celebrate Recovery.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
What Greg just said, really something there struck me when we talked about the Spirit of Christ. And, I got to thinking myself some time ago, what makes a perfect life? What is a perfect life? And then I asked myself a question, what's stopping me from having a perfect life, per se? And when I thought about it, I realized it was me. Because in my case, what I needed healing from, bless you, was anger. Okay. And I thought, I got to work on that. And when I thought about, healing and things like that, it occurred to me that through Celebrate Recovery, that is healing. And something touched on that Greg said, the Spirit. Celebrate Recovery, what I'm seeing it do, it's incredible. It's truly, totally, completely incredible. And it's all being done through God's Spirit, through God's healing Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm seeing lives changed. I'm seeing hearts changed. I'm seeing spirits changed, saved.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people do miraculous recovery.
Wow.
It's only been about 4 months, I think, since we actually launched the program, if you will. But a lot of incredible things have happened. And when we talk about God's Spirit, what else I'm seeing in Celebrate Recovery, and this is really cool, is I'm seeing God's Spirit more and more every week. I'm seeing God's Spirit in the large groups and the small groups, and I'm seeing that Spirit rise. I'm seeing that Spirit raise.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people raised up by God's Spirit. And the cool thing about healing is to heal, you've got to be able to do it in a safe place where you feel safe. You got to be able to do it in a place where you feel comfortable. You got to do it in a place where you can share or listen or both. And in Celebrate Recovery, that's what we can do. It's a safe, comfortable place where people can heal, where people can recover. And as this is happening, I see God's Spirit grow and grow and grow and grow by leaps and bounds every week. I see it. It's incredible. And I see anonymity. I see people, when they come, they know it's safe because they know there's anonymity there. And they know that whatever we share stays there and doesn't leave. And people can trust. And they can grow. I just can't say enough about it. And, sometimes people think that perhaps alcoholism and substance abuse is destructive. Well, yes, it is destructive. It's very destructive. It rips families apart, good people apart every day. The one thing I've come to know is nobody ever start out by saying, I'm going to get up today and all of a sudden suffer from alcoholism, substance abuse. But at the same time, whoever got up and said they were going to be addicted to anger, addicted to codependency, addicted to overeating, addicted to worry, addicted to any number of things. And whether it be codependency, sexual addictions, porn, all those crummy, rotten things, they're just as destructive and they're just as terrible and they're just as life-crushing, if you will, as alcoholism or drug abuse. And the one thing about Celebrate Recovery is it reaches all of those facets. It addresses all of those things. And when I see a young woman come to those Celebrate Recoveries, and I see her in the thralls of an addiction, I see her come in broken, I see her come in her life in shambles, and after that, I see the following week, she's a little brighter, things are a little better.
Wow.
And the following week, things are a little brighter, and things are a little better. And the following week, she's sharing, and she's talking to us, and things are a little brighter and a little better. And then just 2 weeks ago, we were able to look at her and say, to us, this is a big deal. Here's your 6 months recovery pen, 6 months clean from whatever's been wrecking your life.
Wow.
That's awesome stuff. That's what Celebrate Recovery is. It's healing. It's mending. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning.
Thanks, Fabian. I think we'd be right in not calling Celebrate Recovery a program, but in calling it a move of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and we're delighted we have that here, and we invite you to come and take part in it, or to bring friends to come and take part in it. So, all right, let's move on with some scriptures. How about Luke chapter 4, and we'll go over to verse 31. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teachings because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with me? Or what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching with authority and power? He gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the whole area. Jesus can deliver afflicted people from demons. Okay? He can tell them to go, and they must go. They must obey his voice. Now, we don't talk a whole lot about demons today. And, you know, I think that's why the demons are having such a good time. You just don't hear much about them, all right? But they're very real. They exist. They're the counterpart of the angels, if you will. And today, I believe the demons are having a ball. Just because we're so sophisticated, we don't talk about them too much. Okay? Let me say this, that no Christian, no person who has been born again by the Spirit of God can have a demon living in them. Absolutely impossible. Okay? The Holy Spirit comes to reside in you when you're saved, and a demon cannot live in a house, in a body, when the Holy Spirit's in there. So you don't have to ever be concerned about that or worried about a demon being in you. But Christians can absolutely be harassed by demons. And I believe we continually are. We live in a fallen world. And where do those thoughts come from? Where do those dreams come from? Where do those, you know, evil things come from? It's often a harassing demon. And we just need to learn how to deal with them and stop them and shut them out at the door. And that does take a little bit of, discipline, wisdom, and I'm thinking of another word. Discernment, right, absolutely. So, well, let's go on. Right down below that, verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon, that's Peter. And now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Can you talk to a fever? Absolutely. You know, can you talk to a cold? Can you talk to a headache? Absolutely. We have the power to do that. We can rebuke those things, you know, those illnesses in Jesus' name and receive healing. And we should do that. We should do that. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. Jesus healed all kinds of sicknesses. There's places in the Bible where you read great multitudes came to him and he healed all of them. He healed all of them. He laid his hands on them. There's something about laying hands on people when you pray for them, that just the physical touch alone is comforting to people. But Jesus, I mean, these are the same hands that later on would bear those nails And it's because of those nails and that blood that he died and suffered for us, for the release of our sins. It was that blood that heals. And his hands could heal as our hands could heal. Isn't it amazing that the Lord said to us, you know, greater works will you do than I did? Okay? We should be doing those works. The church is called to do those works. Let's go on. How about over in Luke 5, verse 12. When Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Okay? Notice that this man's attitude when he came to Jesus, it says that he fell down with his face to the ground. He humbled himself before Jesus. He humbled himself. You know, God recognizes a humble heart, a heart that is not proud, but cries out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. If you are willing, you can heal me." It is good to have a humble heart when you come for healing. It moves God's heart to see that your heart is humbled, that you're resting under his sovereignty, all right? That you're looking for him to help you because you know he is the ultimate one who can help you. Okay? He touched the man. He touched the man. Jesus touched the man. Nobody touches a leper. Nobody. It was against their law. Okay? Did Jesus care about the law? No. He knew that his compassion in his heart was so great, he had to touch this man. He touched him, and he was healed. All right. Right up the top. You know, it amazes me when you go through the scriptures like this. You can go literally page after page and see how many people Jesus healed and ministered to. Sometimes we forget about that such a large part of his ministry was healing. And I feel sad for churches that don't teach this and don't bring people to receive healing prayer. I think it's worse than sad. It's almost criminal, okay? This is why Christ came. Deliver people from sin and make people whole. Deliver them from sickness and disease. Yeah. I'm going to ask Brother Mike if he would read to us the passage on Jesus heals the paralytic. This is Luke 5 through, right to the end of that passage. I think it's verse 26. Thank you, Mike.
And again, as Greg said, in Luke chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 17 through 26, and I will be reading from the King James Version. And the scripture says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, in Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him, to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with the couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto them, unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that thereof he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today."
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jesus. All right? Jesus has authority over sin. He said to this man, "You know, your sins are forgiven." There is no greater freedom than to know that your sins are forgiven. There is no greater freedom than that. To be able to stand before God, guiltless, with no shame, right? And know that you are welcome before Him, and that there's just no guilt. It's incredible to know. And think of that now. That, you know, sometimes we, "Oh, I did this, I did that." You are guilt-free, shame-free before Christ if you're in Him, right? It is the most wonderful feeling in the world to know that. And you can have that freedom today. You can know that freedom today. You know, if you've never come to Christ, or if you're carrying a sin burden that's trapped you, I strongly suggest when we're done today, when I'm done speaking, you come on up and you get prayer. Because we will pray that you be released from that sin burden, that God welcome you into His kingdom, and you will be a free person. You will be a free person. You know, and no one will be surprised. You know, no one will be surprised when you come up. We don't care what you've done. People up here, a lot of them have been praying for a long time. They've heard everything. Okay? You won't surprise anybody. All right? So please come for prayer. Don't leave today without that healing prayer of deliverance from sin if you need it. Jesus had authority over illness. He said to this man, "Take up your mat and go home. Go home whole. Go home healed." You can go home whole and healed today. Right? You can do that. All right? Let's flip over. And this is Luke chapter 7. And this is the faith of the centurion, this wonderful centurion. Brother Ryan, would you read us the passage? It's from, Luke 7 down to 1 to 10, verses 1 to 10.
When Jesus had finished saying all this and hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and was about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to him, "Lord, don't be troubled. Don't trouble yourself, for I did not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with my soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to him, to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well.
Thank you, Ryan. They found the servant well. It helps when you come for healing prayer that you have some faith. Okay, that you have some faith. Faith is believing that Jesus will do what he said he's going to do. Faith is also believing what you don't see. What you don't see. You know, you may come for prayer for healing and you may not immediately feel anything. Okay, that's okay. That's fine. Sometimes God allows us to go through a time before he heals us because he wants our faith to grow. He wants us to keep believing in him that we're going to be healed. And that's why you need to believe in the Lord and not so much in what you're feeling. You know, somebody comes up and they say, "Boy, I have a sore arm, and I got prayer for that sore arm, and I'm going back, and you know, my arm's still sore, but that's okay. That's all right, because I had healing prayer. I know Jesus knows what I've asked for, and I'm just going to keep believing on him until those symptoms go away." Okay? I've had healings that have happened immediately over my life. I mean, bam, just like that, I was healed. I was like, "Wow, that was great," you know? Just immediate deliverance. And I've had healings that have taken a year, more than a year, things that I prayed for, and I never stopped believing. I say, "Lord, someday you're going to deliver me this. Someday you're going to heal me this." One particular thing was I used to suffer from really severe sinus infections. I don't mean just colds. I mean ones that you're on antibiotic from September to May. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. And I said, Lord, I want to be delivered from this. And I kept praying about it and praying about it. And one day, I remember it was in the spring, I was outside washing a car with Linda. And out of nowhere, I heard that voice inside. And it was, you are never going to have to deal with this again. This infection is going to go, and you are never going to deal with it again. And it's been about 18 years now. I get little colds every now and then, but nothing like I used to get, you know. And it was just a matter of hanging in there and keep believing. God's going to do it. My faith, it was a good thing because my faith grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, you know. And good stuff, Lord. Thank you for teaching me. We'll go down to look at one or two more. How about Luke 7, verse 11? Jody, would you read the widow's story? Thanks, Jody. God has come to heal his people. God has come to heal his people. You know, he has come and he remains. He remains with us today in the person of his Holy Spirit to heal people, to help people. And, you know, maybe just one little final passage. Let's just get down to verse 30. I guess it's verse 21, but this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in prison, and he wasn't sure if Jesus was the right one. I think he really knew, but he sent out some messengers to find out. So Jesus says, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers that had come from John, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. You know, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So, Jesus is the healer. He is the great physician. Can we put up that slide, helps to healing, helps to healing? Okay, where's our slide person? There we go. Just a couple points I want to mention. Good things to think about when you go to receive healing, things we rarely think about all the time. First, that God is always with you. He never leaves you or forsake you. Okay? He is always with you. It's a very comforting and powerful thing to focus on that the Lord never leaves me, never forsakes me. You can tell yourself that during the day. I do. I'll just be walking around. Boy, Lord, thanks for being here. I know you'll never leave me or never forsake me. Don't you tell yourself that all the time? It's comforting and it's healing to tell ourselves that. Next, remain thankful. No matter what your condition is, no matter what you're suffering through, remain thankful. This is so important. People who remain thankful, even for the illness, you know, I'm one of those people that believe you should even thank God for our illnesses, all right? Because he's sovereign, he didn't cause it, but he's permitted it into our life for good reason. We thank him, you know, remain thankful. I heard a great story about Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a preacher in the 1700s and went around, you know, riding a circuit and preaching. And one day Matthew Henry was robbed by a thief. His purse was taken, his wallet was taken. And as the thief rode off, he heard Matthew Henry say, I thank you, God, that I have never been robbed before. He says, I thank you, God, that that man only took my purse. He didn't take my life. He says, I thank you, God, that he robbed me and I didn't rob him. And I thank you, God, that even though he took all I had, it wasn't much. We can always be thankful. We can always be thankful. And God works better through a joyful heart. So even if you're down in the dregs with some kind of illness, find things to thank God for. It oils the healing, okay? Remain in prayer. Obviously, I've given you the first verse here of a very famous scripture. Jesus taught this parable to tell his disciples that they should pray and never give up. They should never give up. And what's the parable? The parable of who? The judge. The unjust judge. It was the woman who went for the unjust judge, right? And she kept going and going and going and going and going. And the judge wasn't, but the judge just wore out and he said, I'm going to give her what she wants. Okay? Now, mistakenly, people might think that the judge is God. No, 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 no. Okay? God's not that way at all. But he's just encouraging us to pray and not give up, to pray and not give up. So remain in faith. Remain in faith. And consider coming to celebrate recovery. So in a few minutes, we're going to invite people to come up and receive healing prayer. And you can come for your own healing. If you need something healed, please come up and pray. We have some very skilled people in this church who will pray with you. They actually have the gift of healing. So don't be shy. Come up and we'll pray for you. You may even come up for someone else, all right? If you come up, you know a neighbor, a friend, a family member who needs prayer, you come up for them, and we will pray with you for them. We just want to release that healing power of Jesus today. Okay? But, you know, before we do that, I want to have us pray together as a congregation, because we have one of our dearest sisters here, who needs healing, okay? And I'm talking about Liz Reese, okay? Our wonderful pastor's wife. Liz can use some help. I don't know how much you're aware of, but Liz and Ryan have really been through a difficult time in the last, you know, 6-7 months. And we just need to lift Liz up and pray for her. You know, Liz's difficulties are difficulties of the mind, difficulties of the emotions, but God can deal with that. God can deal with it. He created that mind, right? He created those emotions. He can deal with that, and he can help. So, and besides just praying for Liz here now, I'm going to ask you to commit, to really commit over the next weeks, months, to pray for Liz, pray for Ryan every day, every day. Just remember to call out for God to come down and touch Liz and heal her. And he will. He will. Okay? You know, they've been seeking some good doctors. Pray for wisdom for the doctors. And it's a powerful thing when a church comes together and prays for one of its members. When we lift up many prayers, and that's what we're going to do for Liz. So let's bow our heads and we'll pray for Liz first.